I had an experience that was not real pleasurable. I had some partners in business, two of them. One of those particular partners was not 100% honest. In fact, he embezzled about $250,000. And he ran my company about $758,000 in debt. While I was working on the road doing seminars, literally 25 days, 28 days a month. It was a fairly intense experience. Fascinating is the word I now choose to use for it. But the point is that what happened for me was everyone around me came to me and said, Tony, you're a good guy, it's not your fault, and the company's going to go under. There's no possible way you're going to have to go bankrupt, so how do you want to get started? Now, what's interesting is I have a different set of organizing beliefs. I have a belief that says there's always a way. That if you're committed, let me put it that way, if you're committed, then there's always a way to pull it off if you're 100% committed. Now, we all have a different idea of what committed means. Committed to me means you just do whatever it takes. I don't care what it is, there are no limits. Committed to other people is I'll try it a time or two and see what happens. And in less than a year, because of that one belief, instead of my focusing on the question of, well, how will we go bankrupt, the question changed. And the question mine was, okay, how do we make this thing work? How do we turn it around in spite of it all? What do we need to do? And by asking those questions, I got better answers. Does that make sense? The quality of your life, I will tell you right now, and you'll hear me say this often, the quality of your life comes down to the quality of the questions you ask yourself. Because there's an old phrase that says, ask and you shall what? That's right. And if you ask lousy questions, you will get lousy answers. If you say, how will I go bankrupt? You'll get answers. If you say, how can I turn this thing around in spite of it all and enjoy doing it? Then you're going to find out those answers as well if you keep asking the question. The bottom line is, I want you to think about finding out what people's beliefs are. And then what you've got to do is you've got to create a new possibility. You've got to create a way for them to be able to say, okay, if I purchase this, then it's going to mean more pleasure than pain. And the way you're going to do that is the way we've already taught you and the way we're going to break it down into 10 steps. But I want you to understand the basis behind this. Now, let's see if this is really true. Is what we do really the result of what we believe? Is that really the source? Well, let me ask you some questions. Let's have some fun questions for you. How about a question like, let me ask you an intense question instead. Let me ask you a tense question, and that'll be fun for me. Would you be willing to murder an innocent person in order to stop hunger all around the world? Because dies now, I think 40,000 people a day or something of that nature, die every day of hunger. So the question is, would you be willing to murder an innocent person to stop hunger around the world and save all those lives? Yes or no? One person says, which person? Okay, that's interesting. So that person began to search their mind and they said, would I be willing to do it? And they said, well, it'd probably be painful, except for certain people, it might be pleasurable. So he began to reevaluate. What would this mean? He's not sure what it'd mean. You know, you got these emotional reasons why you should do it, because you could save 40,000 lives a day. And you got this other one, which is murdering someone is never something that's acceptable to you. And they're both compelling because they're both really intense emotions. And you're not sure. Other people's like, no problem, I'll murder him. Because, I mean, come on, 40,000 lives. Some people believe that their giant belief system here that they organize things with, that they feel certain about is, do you ever see Star Trek? There's a place there where Spock says the value of the many surpasses the value of the one. Some people think that way. So they'd say, listen, one person. Some people say, yes, I would murder someone. Myself. Creative thinker. Right? They found a way. What they did is they searched your mind and said both ways would be painful. But if I did it, I would at least know I gave my life for something valuable. And even though I'm killing myself, it would create what? The pleasure of knowing my life had a sense of purpose. Isn't it interesting how people's brains work? It's rather fascinating to me, at least. I hope it is to you. Let me ask you another question. For an all-expense-paid trip for any place around the entire world, would you be willing to tear off the wings of a beautiful butterfly? Yes or no? Yes! You're a mean sucker, aren't you? Yeah, so raise your hand if you'd be willing to do it. For an all-expense trip, whoa, you guys are disappointing me here. You can't tell what my values are, can you? How many would absolutely not do it? Let me see a show of hands. Ah, yeah, there are the good souls in the room. Whose beliefs are those? Do we judge other people through our beliefs and values? You better believe it. And by the way, whose values are right? Our own, obviously. We feel certain, or otherwise we wouldn't have those values. Now, in this room, most people here believe that they whip them off. Why? It's just an insect. Interesting. Okay. So So what this person is saying it's just an insect, as they're saying, I associate to insects feelings that are not as strong as human beings. Isn't that true? I should tell you, there are two kinds of beliefs, so you can follow me on this. There are beliefs I call global beliefs. Global beliefs are things like I am, people are, life is, insects are, right? Is, are, am are the words I use to describe global beliefs, okay? Global beliefs affect the way we look and interpret what things are going to mean. In advance, it determines. Well, a long time ago, we decided this is what it means, and we use that to make future evaluations. Like, for example, if you walked into a room, and you were in there, and you left your wallet or purse in the room, and you have this belief that says, Martians steal, okay? And sure enough, you leave the room, and you come back, and your wallet or purse is gone. And you notice that there are two Martians in the room. What immediately becomes the question in your mind that you're going to ask based on that belief? What would you guess it would be? That's right, which Martian took it? Not where did I leave my wallet, right? Not did somebody pick it up and put it in another place. Now, what if you believe that Martians are totally honest, and so are all human beings, and the room was only filled with Martians and human beings? And your global belief is Martians and humans are totally honest and capable of stealing. When you walk in the room and your purse or wallet is missing, what are you going to ask? Has anyone seen it? Where did I leave it? Where did somebody put it for me? You follow me? So when you walk in to meet a prospect, you're walking into, I call this a reference book. This is a giant book or file cabinet full of preconceived notions about what things will mean, don't you? Global beliefs. Salespeople are, right? Finances are, too complicated. Insurance is negative. Buying a home is a big decision, right? You know, making an investment in satellite communication is very intense. Using another printer is a pain. You know, having to change is tough. Those would all be global beliefs. You follow me? And so you cannot, in persuading a prospect, jump in. I shouldn't say you cannot. You can do anything. But it is probably better not to attack a person's beliefs, because people have different levels of beliefs. Some beliefs they're kind of like, they feel pretty certain about, and some beliefs they would give their life rather than change. Have you ever been in an argument with somebody when you attacked one of those beliefs? It can get rather intense, can it? So the general strategy in selling is find out what they want. In other words, find out who we're dealing with, and let's meet their needs by aligning with their beliefs and then redirecting. Somebody says to me, salesmen are dishonest. My response will be, no, they're not. I wouldn't say that. I'd say, you know what? Unfortunately, a lot of them are. And it totally tarnishes, you know, the idea of people like myself who really do care. That's why I don't even think of myself as a salesman. You know what I really am? I'm a CEO, a financial CEO. I'm here to help you manage those finances, if I was, for example, a stockbroker. So if you're a stockbroker, don't say, well, they say stockbrokers are dishonest. Don't go, no, they're not. Say, a lot of them are. And you know what? I don't even think of myself that way. What I am is this, not one of those. See, that's the way to deal with things, not to fight them, not to tell them they're wrong. No one in this world wants to be made wrong. And if your style of selling is to try and show the client how they're wrong so you can now show them what's right, I guarantee you, you'll never make it into that group I call the 250. The 250 are the people that make $250,000 a year or more, or in their industry are considered to be the top. So it's not just economics, because in some industries you're not rewarded economically for how much you contribute. But in most of the selling industries, that's true, and that's why I use that criteria. But if you want to be in that top 1%, you've got to really make sure you align with the client's beliefs, not attack them. Is this making sense so far? Great. So one type of belief I call a global belief. Global beliefs. And global beliefs are the I am, life is, people are, butterflies are,